This is an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Naked. Ooh, meet me in my Murray dreaming. Melt my melting. Encourage my encouragement. Cherish my cherished. Ooh, some sad people will attack us soon. It is wrong to feel so sad with me. Jealous women will fly with rage, spitting barbs of venom. Ooh, your past will be screamed at me. Deafness will be my choosing. You were that woman once, no longer. Will you forgive me, forgiving you? Ooh, society will smile at us. Stupid woman wanting that. White supremacy to lose her. They hate that. Ooh, strip away the lies not to hide in possession. Lay bare in your soul. Meet me naked in my Murray dreaming. Yeah, my name's Lionel Fogarty, and my mob is Malinjali Yagara people from Yugambi in the Bow Desert area and Gold Coast area.
Lovely. So you're taking part of this year's Queensland Poetry Festival.
I've been doing the Queensland Poetry Festival for about maybe 5 years now, or 3 years or something, on and off, and I'm taking part to read some poetry out of my new and selected writings.
Oh, lovely. So what do you write about?
I write about political understanding in the Aboriginal community, about land rights, about justice, and about debts and custody, because I have a lot of experience, same as a lot of other families, in understanding what happened with debts and custody. So I write a lot about Royal Commission into debts and custody, and about people in and out of jail, and about revitalising our people within jails and programs and that, and doing worse in jails. Revitalising our languages in bits and pieces of the English that I use as a tool to bring forward our languages and things, but also authentic stories I write about when I was brought up in Sherbrooke Aboriginal community. I write about that experience and bring it to the present day about policies that's been happening, which seems to be the same kind of policies when I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. And so I write about that kind of thing and explaining things today to try and give resolutions to things. So I'd say my writings are political, cultural kind of writings. And it's something with have a sure realistic kind of meaning in it. You know, so I write about education, more or less stories that's unforgotten, and characters in the communities. Try to write about unity in terms of Indigenous worldwide. Like, for example, in schools up here in Southeast Queensland, they don't have compulsory Indigenous languages in reading and writing. It's only little programs once in a while. I write for sovereignty kind of things that should be brought forward, what was principally said in the 70s, like the present day, in terms of our culture. I write about also cultural heritage, in terms of the sacred grounds of where we all are. Like in our areas there, we have a lot of burial grounds, a lot of different sacred sites and things like that, which have been excavated for mining companies and new freeways, new townships and things like that. I write about the importance of employment within these areas to take up more so than programs within departmentals or within structural things in society. This infrastructure things are what I write about. And also, I'm involved with men's groups and also get involved with other stuff. Basically, I like to write generally overall in terms of ungrammified styles of writing, but the ungrammified style of writing is to always have a storyline in it, and that's what I'm trying to do. And also try to help a lot of people in workshops, young people mainly, in what they try to do, in developing something that's a bit different to normal styles of writings. So with my new and selected writings, I think that this is a presentation to show from the 70s, when I got published in the 70s, 80s and the 90s, and bringing it up to today. It's a way of helping people that you don't have to stick in the same old Shakespearean style of writing or the same old Western styles of writings. You can write it in your way. You don't have to even rhyme it. And my whole idea in terms of what I write about is to make English bow down to me and use it as a tool, but to always have the out result is where schools in the cities and in detribalized communities, that they have principles of educational literacy and learning of literacy, should be first and foremost Indigenous writings and Indigenous readings. It should be compulsory. And that's what I'm trying to do with a lot of my works. Also expose a lot of the environmental criminal wrongdoings by the government in their policy makings and what they do in terms of blindfolding our people. I also write a bit about the native titles and about lawyers and barristers on how a lot of blindfold has been done through the 1967 referendum, as blindfolded a lot of our people into thinking that democracy and freedom and liberty is a real thing within society once you have voted for them. But it seems that this kind of writings were done by white men, and I believe that we, as Indigenous writers, like I'm part of 4,000 Aboriginal writers in this country just published. So I like to identify with that to see that we have an opportunity as writers in this country to rewrite the Constitution, if not rewrite it, write some sort of a Makarrata treaty that's completely different from the old written stuff from a long time ago.
There's definitely a healing there as well, isn't there, with the poetry?
I think that poetry heals, you know. Political policies or political textures or texts and symbolics, you know, within the politics, it never heals. It'll stay standard all the time. It'll stay in that way all the time without as oppressions. But poetry is some sort of music. It's in Aboriginal culture before the white man made the word poetry anyway. But with us now, we have to put up to English. And most of their poetry were buffer zones for neo-colonialistic legislations. So I'm about writing poetry to show the guidance of the young people that poetry should not be used for the exploitation of political racist legislation down the road, where everyone sits around and have a cup of tea and a cup of coffee together, and it's all nice and sweet, like apologetics within politics of society is accepted through, not through my poetry, because that's a challenge for me. I don't believe in that. Feelings within policy making or within the legislation of Australia has any significance to protest poetry, because the feelings within protest poetry not only challenges, brings up a challenge, it gives a result. It gives a way out from mosaic, mumble-jumble politics in the world.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio or download the SBS radio app.